I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like $1 million.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now here's a highlight from Coast to Coast AM on iHeartRadio.
You guys know that I'm into the Bigfoot big time. I'm into all of them across the board, but the most fun and the most interesting is the Bigfoot. It's just the way it is. It's the one that you can have a relationship. It's the one that you can talk with. It's the one that they want to talk with you, and they want to have a relationship with you. They do, whether you're crazy about them in love, or you want to run from them. I know there's different people have different situations that happen. And so we're going to get all sides of people. And I think you might get a different one tonight. So let's see how that goes. Now, they're not going to tell their names or where the actual city or town was, or the area that it was, because it was deep in the woods. But they're not going to tell you those things. They still want to be very, very private. This happened a while back. They have since moved from this area, and they want to keep their privacy. They do have a Facebook link, though. They've opened up a group just the other day, just a couple days ago, that you can go to. And let's see. I'll have to ask the name again. I've got it pulled up over here, but the actual is like Bigfoot in the Backyard, or Backyard in the Bigfoot. I'll ask them when I bring them up. But just keep in mind, you know, everybody has their story. Let them tell their stories. Let them tell you how they felt and what they did. Because a lot of times people get upset if somebody doesn't think the way they think. And I get that. I understand that. I'm out there myself, and I know that I listen to the other people and what their thoughts are. And you can, you know, a lot of times they match up, and sometimes they don't. And maybe you just never experienced that, or vice versa. And then maybe, you know, you've experienced ones that are nicer and kinder, and maybe ones that are not so nice and not so kind. To me, they're very individualistic. And, you know, let's just see about tonight. Again, open lines later. So let's do this. We've got Elaine and Elaine's son, Sierra. They had lived in East Texas for about 10 years, and every night a Bigfoot visited them, every night. So they left East Texas, and they moved to Southern Colorado, where they can sleep again. They don't have any worries. However, in the area of Southern Colorado where they are, there's a lot of activity there. So maybe eventually it could or could not happen. But if you're in the location where they are, they're very curious. They're going to come say hi to you. They're going to come say hi to you. All right. So Elaine and Sierra, welcome to Coast AM. It's very nice to have you here. Thank you.
Hey, Connie.
How's it going, Elaine?
It's going okay. Yeah.
All right. You're ready for tonight? I know that you want to keep certain things secret, and I totally get that. And we'll definitely do that for you.
Oh, that's cool. Whatever.
Yeah. Okay. And Sierra's there, so we can talk with him along the way too.
Yeah. I'm here.
All right. Hey, Sierra.
Hey.
All right. So Elaine, tell me where all this started. I mean, apparently, I think you were in Hawaii before.
No, it started before we went to Hawaii. And let's see, it was the first thing I was thinking earlier, and I thought, well, I better go to the beginning. And I thought, well, okay. back. And so Sierra was in kindergarten, and I went to pick him up from school. And at this point in time, I really wasn't aware of Bigfoot, didn't pay much attention to him at all, and didn't know him in any kind of way. And so anyway, I picked up Sierra and was coming home. We turned off the highway and onto a dirt road that we traveled quite frequently. And we topped the first hill, and Sierra was standing up in the seat. So we saw this creature. He leaped across the fence and made a few steps across the road, jumped the other fence, and disappeared into the forest. Sierra said, wow, did you see that? So he must have scared us, because we didn't stop to look at any footprints. And another unusual thing, a lot of people don't believe this, but he had on a shirt. It looked like a blue checkered flannel shirt. I know it sounds crazy, but...
What state was this in?
Down there in East Texas.
Okay, so it was... So I'm sorry, I remember Hawaii, but we're going right into Texas.
Well, this has happened before we went to Hawaii.
We lived
in East Texas, and then we went to Hawaii, and then we came back to East Texas, didn't know where to go right off the bat. And so we went back to the same area we were. But this happened the very first time that I got introduced to a Bigfoot.
Oh, I gotcha.
That's how that happened. And I started paying attention after that. And there were a lot of things that went on in our country neighborhood that we started noticing. And the next time I had an encounter with him, my dear husband at that time was working nights at a college, and he didn't get home till late at night. And so the dogs barking all night. I was so tired of the dogs barking, and they were in a kennel up on the hill from the house. So about 2:00 in the morning, I just decided I've had it. I'm going to go let the dogs out. And so it was pretty chilly that night. I put on my robe and shoes, went out the back door, walked up to the gate, went in the gate, and took about 10 steps, and I heard that terrible blood-curdling scream, holler mixture of just strangeness that you know something's mad. And sure enough, I thought, well, should I go ahead and let the dogs out or go back to the house? But I went and let the dogs out. They passed me, ran in the back door under the bed. I ran in and shut the door, and that was that for the night. So that was my second encounter down there.
Going back to the flannel shirt, the blue flannel checkered shirt, there have been reports of people also seeing clothes, boots, armor, sashes, shirts, shorts, all sorts of different things. So you're not the only one I've ever heard that from. So I think that's very interesting.
Yeah. I guess he doesn't wear it all the time, but maybe he does. But that's the only time I saw a Bigfoot that had a shirt on.
We had somebody that saw a dog man with the pants, like shorts on, or like Bermuda shorts or something like that, where it looked like they had broken open, kind of like the werewolf when the man would turn into the werewolf and, you know, the clothes would tear and rip up.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, interesting, huh?
I've always felt like, honesty is a lot scarier than fiction.
Yes, I agree.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern.
It's just a shame, you know, that they took him from us.
Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, knocking on doors, uncovering new evidence, including the DNA of a potential killer.
My name is Danny Smith. I'm a detective with Miramar Police Department. This is Scott Weinberger. We're actually reopening an old case, and your name came up.
Untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one murder, but almost a dozen.
I thought they were going to kill me, so I kept my mouth shut and I didn't say anything. All these years, I didn't say anything.
Listen to Cold Blooded, The Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
We started talking about this incident. Drugs and officials cover up. You couldn't believe it.
From iHeart Podcasts.
It's like the police knew who he was before they got here.
A story about money, power, and corruption.
The medical school dean at USC was leading a secret double life.
He's breathing right now?
Yes, he's absolutely breathing. I'm a doctor, actually.
There's no way that that guy's a doctor.
I'm Paul Pringle, and I'm an investigative reporter for the LA Times. This is the story of an investigation that starts in a hotel room in Pasadena, California, and reaches all the way to the top of two of the most powerful institutions in the city of Los Angeles.
When people fall in line, they fall in line.
Looking back, I realized, oh, everyone knew.
This is Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption.
We're always going to have predators. It's the good people who stand by and do nothing that allow them to flourish.
Listen to Fallen Angels, a story of California corruption on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Are you ready to fight back against crime? Hi guys, Nancy Grace here, host of podcast Crime Stories with Nancy Grace. I've dedicated my life to fighting crime and helping crime victims. For a decade, I prosecuted violent felonies, personally investigating, prosecuting, and covering literally thousands of cases. It's so easy to think it will never happen to me or my family, but that is simply not true. Every day on Crime Stories with Nancy Grace, we shine a light on unsolved homicides, heat up cold cases, and help find missing people, especially children. We speak with family members, investigators, CSI, reporters, and experts in every field. Every day is a mission. Every day is a chance to stop crime and keep one more person safe. Listen to Crime Stories with Nancy Grace on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
So the house that you lived in, by the way, you know, there's two houses now because you were in East Texas before, then moved to Hawaii, then you came back. But in the house where you were visited every night for a decade, was it out in deep into the woods? What was the terrain like?
It was down the road from that first house we lived in, about 8 miles, and it was off the road in a very rural area, and it was surrounded by a forest. But there were some neighbors, you know, within maybe, I don't know, 300 yards or something like that. There weren't anybody close, but there were some people around.
But it was wooded. It was heavily wooded.
It was the beginning of the, not the big thicket, but it was close to it.
Was there anything else in the area, or was it just woods? Was there any, what was the industry around, or is it just it out in the middle of nowhere?
It was oil well country, and there were, you know, all people, workers doing oil field work down there. That's about it. And farmers, that's about all it was.
Did you have like a stream around you, or a creek or a river or any type of water?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there was a creek about 200 yards from our property.
Do you think that that was like in a pathway of one, or you just moved into an area where one or a family or a clan lived? What are your thoughts about it?
That they were all around down there, because at night I heard them hollering to each other and answering back. Mm. Then that one would holler and another one would answer back, and all around us. So they were there.
Was there just one that was the one that kept looking in all the time?
I only saw the first one that had the shirt on, and then the big white one that came to the second house. Yeah, and he had a son that I saw one night. But I'll tell you all those stories later.
Yeah, bring them on. So the white one was the one that hung around your second house all the time?
Yeah.
So you had one that was always like, hey, what are y'all doing? I'm going to look in the window. I'm gonna come up to the
front. You want me to tell you how we had the face-to-face encounter?
Yeah.
Okay, we had just come back from Hawaii, and we moved down there, bought an old fixer-upper house, and it was a real fixer-upper, too. And like I said, we didn't have any neighbors, and I had brought some lionhead rabbits with me and some my German Shepherd and some cats. And we had a barn, and I would go out every night to the barn to work with the rabbits, clean their cages, and I sold them for show rabbits. And I was still in that Hawaiian mode, you know. I walked around with short shorts on and all suntanned and a lot of energy and coming and going. And one night, one morning, actually, I went out to the barn and the rabbits were all out of their cages and running around. And I told Sierra, I said, well, that's kind of weird. And so we started listening, you know, and we were watching TV that next night, and something hit the house real hard. And we looked at each other and took out running out the back door. And Sierra had a million candle powered flashlight. And so we stood in the back and shined the light across the field. And it was September 17th. For some reason, it stuck in my mind. I guess I told myself to remember that. But anyway, the grass was real high. And he shined the light across the acres there, and there was nothing. We saw nothing. He shined it all around, saw nothing to the side. So he said, Mother, I'm going to go to the front and look at my truck, see if it's okay. And we didn't know what we heard. So he took off and went to the front, and the German Shepherd, Alicia, went with him. So I'm leaning up against our Ford Ranger looking towards the north, and all of a sudden, slowly, but about 12 feet from me, this creature just started coming up out of the grass, and he just kept coming up, 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 and he just kept getting bigger and bigger, and I was just like scared to death. I just stood there, and all I could say was, oh, my God, what is this? I couldn't scream. I couldn't run. I couldn't do anything, and he was so tall, and he was light color. I don't know if he was white or blonde or what, but he was light color, and the moon was there, and I could see him with the moon shining down on him. And he just stood there and looked at me, and he turned around after a few seconds and ran off into the darkness and across the pasture. And I could hear the horses on the way across from us that were running, and dogs started barking. Sierra comes back from the front, and I said, it's him. And Sierra said, it's who? And I was just still, you know, it's my first time to really have a close encounter with one of them. So that was the beginning of the encounters. That was back in 2007.
So you look each other in the eye.
Yeah.
What it, you know, how you can see somebody's soul that way. What did you see in their eye?
I had been getting all these different vibes when we moved there, and I naturally was afraid. And all throughout the 10 years that we lived there and all the different encounters I had, I always was scared. But he never I don't think he ever wanted to hurt me. And he showed his anger plenty of times. But and even tried to talk with me or communicate with me, and I never had the courage to go out where I knew he was and get close enough to him. I quit going out in the field at night and in the backyard at night. But I felt like if he wanted to hurt us, he would, even though I put plywood over the windows, because he would look through all the windows and doors every night, and, you know, he didn't have anything else to do.
Yeah, I know that feeling. I know that feeling. But every night,
it's a scary feeling.
Wow.
You know, I thought maybe there was somebody out there, because I'm a painter, an artist, and I was sitting by the windows at night painting, and I thought, I know somebody's looking at me. I can just feel it, you know? And I'd open the door and look outside, but I could never see anything. And you won't see them unless they want you to see them, or it's an accident.
I absolutely agree with you. Absolutely. Yeah, you know, they are so curious.
Smart.
And highly advanced. Absolutely. Highly advanced.
Yeah.
So this one
I had a camera in my hand, and he knew it was a camera.
Yeah.
And he knew electricity, and he would unplug lights, and he would crush light bulbs, and he would unplug computers, and it was just a constant thing. Every night something would happen, and every morning I would go out just to see what he had done, and every night he usually left a scat behind in the walkway or driveway, and there was something moved around or something. He didn't, he showed his, you know, he showed himself there every night.
He left a little present for Mama.
Yeah, that was his calling card.
You know how many people go out and try to find Bigfoot scat, and you're like being gifted that every night.
Yeah.
Listen to more Coast to Coast AM every weeknight at 1 a.m. Eastern, and go to coasttocoastam.com for more.
I'm Scott Weinberger, journalist and former deputy sheriff. In my new podcast series, Cold-Blooded, I'm embedded in the cold case investigation into the death of firefighter Billy Halpern. Experience this investigation in a truly unique way, untangling secrets that may reveal the answers to not only one case, but almost a dozen. Listen to Cold-Blooded, the Apollo Gym Murders on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Elevation with Stephen Furtick podcast was created with you in mind. This is a podcast for those feeling discouraged or needing guidance from God. Together in this podcast, we'll dive deep into scripture, uncover the powerful truths that will help you rise above your limitations and embrace your full potential. We're here to equip you with the tools you need to conquer life's challenges. Listen to Elevation with Stephen Furtick every Sunday and Friday on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I used to have so many men.
How this beguiling woman in her 50s...
She looked like a million bucks.
...scams a bunch of famous athletes out of untold fortunes...
Nearly $10 million was all gone.
It's just unbelievable.
Hide your money in your old rich man, because she is on the prowl.
Listen to Queen of the Con, Season 5, The Athlete Whisperer, on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.